Well, hello, and welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast. Join me, Sam Harris, on my journey of curiosity and growth. I have conversations with some of the world's most fascinating humans, from billionaires to Olympians, and most everyone in between, such as suspiciously happy people and even a hitman. Success isn't just for successful people, it is earned and you can earn it too. I find out how ordinary people become extraordinary to fuel your own growth mindset. Sam here, and today I'm joined by Zach and Jay from the Zach and Jay Show. It is my honor to be running the podcast where I regularly get to meet people who are just much more amazing than myself. And this week, we are not failing at all on that respect. I think just either Zach or Jay alone would be infinitely cooler than me, and together they are just a real bundle of awesomeness. So Zach and Jay run a popular YouTube channel with 700,000 subscribers where they make just really brilliant content. They set themselves some amazing challenges, and they have a lot of fun doing things like breaking into nightclubs and backstage gigs to selling lemonade to Bill Gates. And they kind of, on the outside, seem to have a dream life, and they get to do some brilliant things, but they also do work really hard for it. Every episode is a real story that they put a lot of time into creating. It's not just all goofing around as it might seem, and it's a real art form, and they have some business brains behind it, which I really enjoyed unpacking. In the interview, we hear some of their big tips on YouTube success, their biggest failures, what they think about TV networks, and of course, we hear about mindsets. So these are two really fun chaps, and you're really gonna love this episode. And without further ado, I bring to you Zach and Jay in the house. So welcome to the podcast today. I'm glad that you can only see my top half right now because I'm pretty excited. So how did you guys meet?
It was on the degree in Bristol. I kind of didn't know what I wanted to do out of the university, and I found this course which was essentially like The Apprentice, where you set up into two teams. You take profiling tests and they split you out, and then you go and they say go out into the real world and try and do business. And there's no lectures, no exams. You kind of reflect on your experiences with essays and you apply business theory to those. But me and Jay met on that course, and we were both kind of wanting to do something in the entrepreneurship space, but I didn't know what that was. We're kind of in a place in our lives where we're just figuring it out for ourselves. And just got on really well throughout that course, but never worked with each other until 3 years after graduation. So we met in a time in our lives where we were thrust out into like this new group of friends in a new city, and just got on really well.
So when you then started like turning the idea into more of a business, did you think of it like that, or was it like, oh, let's just make the odd video together, and then sort of realize that you could make it a bigger thing?
I think we were thinking about that quite quickly. Like, one of the gigs that we kind of snuck into was a Skepta gig in Manchester, and basically just carried a bin backstage when all the staff were walking backstage with bottles. And I remember thinking, shit, if you can repeat this on a scale, like when Met Aim shook his hand, said that show was sick, got kicked out, but then Skepta was like, no, he can stay and stay drinking with them all night. So it was like a great experience and an eye-opener to how easy it was to sneak in. But if Zach could capture that and there's a sick edit on it, people would just love tuning in for it because it is a crazy kind of story and experience. And Skepta's got a tattoo, which is, I'm not a massive, massive Skepta fan, by the way. It sounds like I'm a stalker. But it says, like, you see Dex and a microphone, I see the bigger picture. And that's kind of how I felt it was back in the day. It was like, you see a bin bag and a high vis sneaking in, but I see the bigger picture. And it was building up a YouTube channel. What do? We've got a YouTube channel, right? We grow out its business assets. We bring more business offerings to the table. We grow our name over kind of a long period of time. But we grow a business from sneaking into places.
So I think it's a lot of lessons to not take things at surface value. Like, you can just sort of dick around sneaking into things, but you can turn it into like a business. You can have like lots of fun and other opportunities like come up. And so, I mean, we haven't really introduced exactly what it is you guys do on the show, but do you want to like kind of explain that quickly?
We run the Zach and Jay Show, which is a YouTube channel. We've got 650,000 subscribers. Been going for about a year and a half now. And the whole kind of ethos behind the channel is we're living in the best time in the world to be alive. Why wait to do anything? Why wait to live? Why wait to use these opportunities, get after it, and live the best life? Like, we've never been in a better time where you can create change for your own life or for other people. So we're kind of a living example of how you can take a high vis and a camera, sneak into loads of places and make a career off it. There's literally no other time in the world where sneaking into places could have been a job. And we do way more than that on the channel. We run a lemonade stand outside Bill Gates' house in America. We've done the longest bus ride in America. We've done sneaking into London's biggest marketing awards and doing an elevator pitch on stage to push the Zach and Jay show to all these brand managers that were in the room. So yeah, we just believe we're living in the best time in the world to be alive, and there's no reason to wait to take advantage of it. And if you do take advantage of it and grab it with both hands, you can see some crazy things and enjoy a crazy life, but an enjoyable one.
Yeah, no, I really like the door philosophy in terms of like, if you guys had tried going to the BBC and pitching yourselves like Ant and Dec as a pair or something, and there's so many people trying to just be like a duo to get famous, but just do cool stuff that kind of you can have fun and actually make good content around it. And then sure, if you guys wanted to actually be on TV now, you probably could actually pitch a show, but you don't need to because you've got your own show.
Yeah, exactly. We were actually on a show, Pants on Fire it was called, and we were doing crazy challenges around Europe. And there were celebrity judges like Jimmy Carr, Maya Jama, Catherine Ryan, one of the Spice Girls. And they would guess whether or not we did the challenges or not. And we'd bluff in front of a live audience. And that was kind of cool. But throughout the whole process, they thought they were doing us a massive favor by letting us go on TV. And in the negotiations, I kind of said, like, look, guys, we're taking a bit of a risk here. And they were like, what? You're taking a risk? This is a huge opportunity for you. And we're like, guys, I mean, you just completely don't understand this YouTube space. The youngest billionaire in the world, like literally in the world, is an Instagrammer. She's Kylie Jenner. You just don't understand the power and value of having your own audiences on these platforms. You think TV's the dog's bollocks and everyone's shiny and perfectly good looking with a load of makeup artists and red carpets, but you just don't need any of that anymore to be successful. So yeah, and we've had quite a lot of talks with BBC, and they've come at us with ideas and said, look, we'll fund the biggest ideas and we'll do production. And we're just like, why would we want to do that? We've got a channel where it's compounding growth. Every time we grow, we kind of have got those people to sell to. We've got those people to push more ideas to. We've got those people to engage with. But if you do a TV channel, the channel kind of gets all that benefit and the program gets all that benefit. So yeah, it's an interesting one, TV.
I guess kind of like publishing, more self-publishing kind of thing with like music or books or anything. And the same like, you know, you can try and be on the radio show or you can start your own podcast. You got to hustle a lot more to make it work, but have to hustle to get on it.
Yeah, well, I think the allure of doing something like that is kind of the stamp of approval. I know when we did our TV show, we had built up like this YouTube channel on our own accord. We had literally like filming videos, editing videos, but had complete control over every aspect of everything we were doing. And as soon as we did TV, to my friends at home, to kind of like my parents, to all those kind of people, they were like, wow, you made it, you've done, you're in the TV world. And to us, it just didn't feel that way. We were just like, we got lack of control. We feel like we're filling someone else's vision of what this show actually is. And we almost felt like puppets.
Yeah, you know? We were just getting told what to do, which is just a bit of a shock to the system.
So again, like you started your own podcast. Like if you were part of a radio network or whatever, like I'm sure you wouldn't be able to have complete freedom over who you were booking, what you were talking about, and you started this podcast saying that you were naked from the waist down, so you're not censored in any sort of way either. So that's the kind of beauty of the modern time, I guess. You can reach more people.
And it's certainly been nice for myself, having the control to like interview random people that, technically speaking, you'd never sort of put on the BBC, but just was suspiciously happy. I was like, I just want to know why you're so happy, mate, and these kind of things, or like interview the hitman, that kind of stuff. And it's sort of a bit harder to kind of do that officially through.
Yeah, why are you so happy, bro? BBC, it just go beep.
Do you think you get away with things a lot more because you say you're doing it for YouTube? So like people then realize that you're caught, but then they're like, oh, well, stay because you're cool.
It's definitely nice to have. Like we haven't actually had that many scenarios where we're we've been caught or we've like had to face any sort of repercussions for the actions, really. But I do think, again, because it's harmless and everything we have released has been real good nature, we've not disrespected anyone, we've kind of just kept ourselves to ourselves. I feel like it's definitely a nice backup to have. If you're there with a camera and a high vis, you're not just a kind of weirdo trying to get close to these famous people. You're there creating.
You've got like sort of, they can check up on you and be like, oh yeah, you are this person, rather than like, oh, you're like a stalker or something weird.
Yeah, definitely helps.
Really helpful. So I've certainly found like running the podcast, it's just like a great life hack in terms of if you just want to talk to interesting people, they'll make time for you. Whereas it's just hard to have like the level of conversation that you can have with someone that you want to get to know, or even if it's someone that you kind of met somewhere and you sort of said you'd do business together or something, but you just can't have like a proper hour conversation to actually get to know them better to then do something, you just have the excuse. I certainly imagine for you guys, it's just like, it's just a really good forcing function to make you do interesting stuff, like the 36-hour bus journey and these kind of things that sort of, you probably should do at some point in your life, but like at the moment when the option's there to do it, you're like, oh, I'm not sure. But like the point of life is to kind of live like things that are interesting stories for yourself and actually have more enjoyment. And if you literally have to tell stories out of what you're doing, you're more likely to tell yourself a more interesting story by like living an interesting story kind of thing.
Yeah, I think people think like if you're filming something, you're not there in the moment present. Whereas like we found kind of some of the best moments in our life has been when we're out recording things and naturally pushing each other because we want the end result of the video to be better. And I think it's quite easy in normal day life not to want to upset the apple cart and do anything that's like a little bit out there or kind of brave. Whereas like we're kind of financially incentivized in that respect to go out and really push the boundaries on.
I mean, you do see some like TikTokers and YouTubers just going like a bit far and just being like complete dicks to each other. And you're like, you don't need to do that all day long and kind of going to McDonald's, but they sort of just like instantly pull a Coke in the guy's lap. And you're like, do you just do that all day, every day? It's just like, yeah.
Yeah, it's stuff that you wouldn't do in normal life unless it was being recorded. Whereas ours is like genuine good life experiences, regardless of whether the camera's out, I think. So, yeah, that's the difference. Also, we kind of like have just a general life rule of like, don't be a dick. Like, I think that people just don't like being left with a sour taste in their mouth. And I just feel like such a weird guy if I was going out to create that sort of discomfort in other people.
Yeah, and knowing that you're doing it so other people laugh, but you're not doing it so other people laugh, you're doing it so you progress your YouTube channel and stuff. It's like your business is going around pissing people off. It just doesn't feel very nice and sit very nice.
I think it kind of just like promotes the circle of people being idiots to each other to try and get famous and stuff. And
it encourages other creators to do the same if it works. And
what would you say has like been the most fun event that you've done?
I really liked cheese rolling.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been on the list.
Yeah, these weird events and traditions is the people. And like, as much as we wanted to go and experience those things firsthand, we wanted to like seek out the weirdos that has come from across the world to this small little area in the UK. Experience this thing that happens once a year, and like cheese rolling, just met so many. Like, there was an American guy who literally took out a $2 million insurance policy where if he had injured himself, he would get flown on a private jet back to the US because he was like a business guy or whatever. And like, it just brings together these absolutely crackers.
Yeah. The longest bus ride in America, which is actually like 90 hours, it was 4.5 days or 3.5 days. And like you say, that experience felt so kind of rare because no one's going to travel 90 hours on a bus. Or 4 days, but they just fly. Like it stops at a few places so people are getting off at certain states. But we were one of the only few who actually rode the whole thing. And especially if you're British, you're not going to pay 700 quid to go to America for a month and spend 4 of those days on a bus that cost you $200. You're just not going to do that. But we did it because we were going to get a video, and therefore the experiences that we had on that trip were just absolutely unreal. We met the craziest people, had the craziest stories, saw sides of America that we never would have gone. Like, you're in gas stations in the middle of Idaho and the diner's so American and she's topping you up and giving you these hash browns and like, hey guys, good morning guys. And you can tell her life has been that for 45 years minimum.
It's really good to just do things. What's been like the biggest failure you guys have had in terms of things you tried to do?
There's one where we released a video where we snuck backstage to try and get Ed Sheeran to sing the Zach and Jay Show intro, which is the Zach and Jay Show. It's quite catchy. I've got a lot of fans here as they see us. And we tried to get Ed Sheeran, one of the richest and biggest singers in the world of our time, to sing it. And so we snuck back to his gig. We got kicked out. Then we snuck in again. The guy's like, how the hell have you done this? We were knocking on his door. And apparently we just missed him. But that in itself was a failure, but it was a great video in itself and a great story. So that went out and did really well. And so I think the biggest one was when we did this thing called the Stuck Inside Show, where we did like 3 episodes a week. We doubled down on it. We thought it was going to be massive. It was when quarantine happened. So we were kind of pumped out a show that was very unique for quarantine. And we're interacting with other creators in a collaborative way, like no one else was doing. And essentially, it just didn't get very many views. It was that the lowest we'd had in ages. We lost a lot of momentum at the channel. What we thought was going to be massive just wasn't. And yeah, we learned a lot about it. We learned we needed to kind of build our audience in different ways. So we set up an email list. And yeah, our core fans did still love it. It just didn't grow how we thought. And I feel like that's the biggest project where we put in the most energy and just didn't get the results we wanted. But yeah, I mean, absolutely no regrets. It was great learning and yeah, good experience.
I'd say the Tiger King video, the mission was to sing the words of Roses by Outkast without realizing. So we paid like 600 quid for them to say these personalized messages, but it just, the end result was just so bad. And we felt that we needed to put the video out because we had spent this money. But in reality, it just wasn't that impressive what we did. And we spent all this, the effort was still like high. It was a lot of effort and we went to lengths to do it, but the results just weren't there for it. And it's good learning, all this stuff.
It's a really hard one when you sort of committed to something and it seems really shit, but you feel like you have to finish it off. And so you do, even though like you really shouldn't. It's a funny situation. But yeah, have you done like any sort of live shows where you just sort of let people come and ask you some questions about what's going on? Like YouTube Live or something where you just kind of go, oh, it's Sunday, we're live and you can ask us.
Yeah, we did a talent show on our Instagram, but we haven't done like a live interactive Q&A. That's a good idea. That's
a good shout. Yeah, I want to do more of that stuff. I feel like so much of YouTube engagement is based on the videos. We've just released a newsletter, which is once a week. It's very much not a newsletter of updates. It's very much the best bits of the internet. It's called Good Shit Only. And it's just good shit, really. It's like music, podcasts, everything starts with like a thought-provoking quote. What else have we got in there? Like books, an inspiring story. Every kind of newsletter has an inspiring story in there. And it's just engaging with audiences in different ways. And I think, yeah, doing a live Q&A. We've even thought about doing like behind-the-scenes business stuff and some sort of business seminar.
Get a lot of engagement whenever I talk about like how to podcast with someone. It's kind of interesting.
I mean, I think for you, it might be a bit different because you've kind of built this growth mindset podcast from an audience which is coming for kind of business content. For us, we get quite a mixed batch between people of what, like, that's one thing we realized from the Stuck Inside show is that what have we built our audience on? It's going out there and doing big outlandish ideas that other people wouldn't do. If we change all our content on YouTube to just business stuff, of we got in touch with Gary Vee and I don't know all that, like, people wouldn't really rate it. We'd almost have to build up a new business following and grow like that. So I think we're just diversifying and going slowly and we've set up an email list. We're not pushing it aggressively saying, you have to get on this. It's like, look, guys, if you want to get on it, get on it. And then it'll slowly grow because it's kind of a good product in itself.
I think it's better to be more organic with these things. So I guess on that, YouTube being success. So you spoke about like having like one a week, big things. Have you got maybe like your top three tips for how to be a successful YouTuber?
I think make ideas that make people feel deep levels of emotion. And it doesn't matter what that emotion is, whether it's excitement, nervousness, happiness, sadness, all the other emotions on the spectrum. Make them feel like a deep emotion. The watch time is super key for it to get recommended. So keep the story moving. Don't at any stage let the story get done. One thing that we do is have our phone next to us when we watch a video, watching when we're watching a run through. And if at any stage we kind of go for the phone, we get a text, we get a bit bored, then that's when we know that the audience will as well. And then something else that's quite practical is just like the thumbnail. The thumbnail is kind of like the packaging of a product and how good it looks. Like the video is almost like the toothpaste. I've never used this analogy before. But then like the thumbnail is like the pack and the title is like the packaging of the toothpaste. So you can have the best toothpaste that gives your teeth the cleanest wash. However, if it looks crap, then no one's going to actually buy that and use it and then keep using it and then sharing it. So yeah, get a good thumbnail which grabs your attention. It's got one key focus. The thing we do is a squint test. So you're kind of closing your eyes a little bit, you're squinting at it, and you want to make sure that it's jumping out at you. You want to make sure it's clear what it is. Because when you're competing with 16 other videos, watching it on a desktop, you want yours to stand out and you want people stuck on your video, not theirs.
Pretty useful, actually. I actually worked for a company called Crowd Emotion where we measured using AI, like, people's emotions as they watch things, and it's really interesting to sort of see it. You just optimize for any emotion really, and as long as people don't look bored at any point, then that's good, whether they're like happy or sad or scared, these things.
Emotion is the key thing for shareability, and YouTube I think now is less dependent on shareability because platforms like Facebook don't push external links as much as they used to. They push their own like native videos, but still for the watch time I think emotion intensity is key.
What would you say your top three mistakes in terms of YouTube success, as in top three things that you shouldn't do?
Yeah, I think people find success in certain things, certain styles of videos or certain bits of content. So for us, it would be the sneaking into stuff and it does really well and everyone loves it, but then your channel is stuck in a certain place and people expect that, and then as soon as you, whether that's legal reasons or creatively, you want to try other stuff, you built an audience based around one thing, which doesn't have long-term sustainability, especially if you're becoming popular and just a noticeable face in the scene. You can't go around and keep sneaking into places all your life, because you will be on every security checklist ever. So we've seen other creators kind of get stuck in a niche and then try and pivot when it's too late. As a result, their kind of engagement just drops off a cliff. That's kind of really scary. So one thing we did from the start was kind of diversify the content straight away. I'd say that's one thing. Got any?
It's a very good point that I think people get stuck in what they're doing or what they've done previously, and equate that with what they're doing and what they will do in the future. You don't want to do that. I think the one big thing for me is like taking YouTube seriously as a business. A lot of creators are kind of young people. They're kind of in young stages of their life. And they've got to the 200,000, 300,000, 400,000 subscribers, which is so hard to do. It takes a lot of creativity, a lot of hours. And once they get there, they get money from brands, $5,000 here, $5,000 there. And they're making kind of maybe 30 to 50 grand a year, and they're kind of happy with that. But it's a very, very short-lived thing where audiences can go to other people. There's loads of creators going on the platform all the time. Platforms can change where TikTok becomes a new thing. And suddenly you could be left with getting 10,000 views a video instead of your usual 200,000 views. You were making good money from brands back in the day, but now you're not. And suddenly you're looking around going, oh shit, that was a good 2 years on YouTube at its peak and 5 years to get there. When I think a lot of people, if with like a little bit more focus look on their channel, could really kind of make something big from it and build, maybe bring products in, or just have like better strategic partners or a more of a long-term approach and make sure that if a platform does change, they're not massively vulnerable to it. So I think that's one thing that I'd say is like a lot of creators have done the hard work of building up big platforms, but then the real thing that should be on sustainability and not kind of getting too excited with where they're at and getting too comfy, I think is the key one. You want to be innovating from the inside and disrupting yourself.
You're probably a very different person than you were a 13, 14, 15-year-old when you first started using social media. This is kind of our age range. People don't vet themselves and kind of maybe look back at some comments they were making as a 15-year-old. You should probably do that. There's tools out there. Yeah. Like you've seen multiple people get cancelled or careers get really dented as a result of saying stupid stuff as a kid, having that in a public forum where it can be easily brought up and come back to haunt you. So that's quite a hands-on, easy one to do.
I honestly believe that everyone, or such a high, like 85% of people who are in professional settings, who are of our age, has said something before that could be deemed as very unprofessional and maybe a sackable offence. And if they've said it, then they may have said it online. So something to be careful about.
Yeah, very good piece of wisdom that sort of super obvious, but actually I haven't really bothered to think about.
And it doesn't mean that it ruins your career, but it just dent it, you know, like it is a black mark and there's no smoke without fire, some people would say.
What would you guys say is the nicest or kindest thing that someone has done for you?
It's a good question, that. It's got me in a different mindset. It's got me in a different, let me think in a different feeling.
Yeah. I like that question. The nicest thing someone's ever done. In the YouTube world, like Yes Theory collaborated with me when the channel was very small. It would add nothing to them to do that. But yet they gave me the time of day because they liked my content and as a result helped me out on my journey. You know? That's kind of more of like a career-wise leg up, helping another little guy, the small fish.
I think to me, like the kindest thing someone's done is just kind of be good to me for a very long period of time. It's probably like my mum, just little things like looking after me and caring for me and being for me. And, you know, like if I'm tired, she'd have made me a tea, and just like the love that my mum showed me over a long period of time, which only kind of time and can verify, like it's just an accumulation of all the nice things she's done to me is the kindest thing that someone has done to me. And I think that's kind of what kindness is. Like my girlfriend got me a very nice bag of just like snacks and treats and stuff, and that was very nice of her. And I don't think, is that the nice thing the world someone's ever done to me? Probably not, but like the accumulation of those nice things is what makes people nice people. So yeah.
Oh yeah, we met this guy called Mike. We were filming a video. The idea was to see how much free stuff we could get, just pimp our channel out, and just, we wouldn't normally do it, but just say, we've got a channel with this many subscribers, we can offer some sort of promotion. However you want to do it, we're down. We're just going to see as an experiment how much free stuff we get. And we got helicopter rides. We got a cruise in like a jacuzzi boat around Seattle, go-kart for free. We got a rally driving experience for free. And they were all kind of good experiences. And like, we were like, oh, well, it works. We got an Airbnb for free, which is normally $1,000 a night. We stayed there for over a week. So we got literally $7,000 worth of free accommodation in a beautiful lakeside mansion. But even further than that, there was this guy who ran like a flyboarding place, which is like a jetpack with water. So you like stand on it in the water and you get jetpacked up. And we ran him as a business. But the second he answered the phone, he just radiated positivity. Yeah. And it was like, straight away, it was like, hey, you briefo. It was like, hey, how you doing today? And like, and he kind of like switched me straight away. And I was like, yeah, I'm good, actually. Like, how are you? And he's like, I'm doing beautifully. And straight away, like, it was very obvious he wasn't a business. It was just a guy who used to do this stuff. As a result, he invited us to his house. And we traveled like an hour and a half across Seattle to meet this guy at his house. And he basically showed us around this beautiful wooden house that he built. And he'd done very well for himself. He was homeless when he was 17. But I built this business in doing high-end yacht glass and made some good money for himself. And he basically took us around his house in four-wheelers, dragged us around on like skim boards, took us around like his big swings that he's made in trees. And then after all that was done, fed us lunch and then took us another hour to his lakeside cabin in this beautiful mountainous part of Seattle and then let us go on his jet skis, set up his hot tub for us, cooked us dinner, petrol in our car when it was running low. Like, literally, he was the most positive, nicest man I've ever met in my life. And like, we just had the funniest day with him. Like, all three of us on the back of one jet ski, and he was going 80 miles an hour, and we just randomly turn, and you literally like,
yeah, we fell off, didn't we? Once
I fell off, he had his mobile phone in his pocket, his jeans on, his jumper on. Like, and I'll remember that forever.
Yeah, I'll remember that forever.
Like, like hysterically laughing, being thrown off a jet ski in the water, not being able to breathe.
It was the most beautiful lake, and we were in Seattle, and we just were like, how did this happen? Just green mountains around us. Yeah, it was amazing. Fed us. That's probably is the kindest thing.
Sounds amazing. Pretty ideal. Yeah, I guess sounds like a kind of nice way to sort of wrap things up, really. Is there any questions or anything you really wanted to ask at all?
I've got a statement, Sam. This was possibly the best podcast we've ever been a part of. Thank you so much for having us.
Honestly, it's been a joy, Sam. From the second Zoom connected to the moment we end, and after that, we will enjoy this thoroughly, Sam. I want you to know that.
Oh, thanks, guys. Yeah, awesome.
Thanks again to Zach and Jay. You might have noticed that we did have a lot to talk about, and the interview didn't end there. We actually spoke for 2 hours, which was too long for a single podcast, so you can tune in to the next episode to hear us trading adventure stories in some of our top lessons from doing crazy things. I really think that it might inspire you to try something new, and I will remind you that you don't need to travel to have adventures. You can even do things in your own home. For example, Jay recently made a great episode where he tried doing Ramadan for the first time. And this is something that's been on my list for a long time, and I still haven't got around to doing it, which shows that there's still plenty of things that you can do. We have a lot of fun, and I'm sure you'll learn something. So be sure to tune in to the next episode. And until then, have a great life. I hope you enjoyed the episode as much as I did. My goal for this podcast is to help make people happier and wiser. And I'm also working on a few other projects in the podcasting space to achieve the same thing. I run the Wiser Than Yesterday podcast with a friend, where we read and discuss a great non-fiction book a week. We talk about things like philosophy, psychology, the economy, self-improvement, and business. Books such as The Black Swan, Anti-Fragile, Invisible Women, How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's a great resource. Most recently, I've been building an app, Syncify. It's really to level up your podcast experience. You can connect with your friends in the app and listen to the same things. So you can listen live in real time with each other, or create shared playlists and catch up at your own pace. You learn so much more by discussing ideas with friends. It's really silly to listen alone. You can also discover and share brilliant episodes with ease without having to try and recommend podcasts in different apps and just it all getting lost and confused. So
It's also good for combating isolation and mental health. I personally find social media quite antisocial, and I just don't find it easy to reach out to friends to chat for no real reason. But I do love doing things with other people, and listening to the same content means that I can naturally talk about the same things, and it just gives me that friend time without going out of my way. So I really hope that it can help you, and I just would love you to try out the beta version and help us build this. And obviously, do invite your friends. It's all about friends. So you can find out more about Syncify app by going to syncifyapp.com. Thanks for listening. Congratulations on listening to a whole episode of the Growth Mindset podcast. Before you race into another podcast, try pausing. Ask yourself, what have you learned? What could you change? How will you make that change happen? Did you press pause? Knowledge is useless without action. What did you learn? What should you change? And how will you make that change happen? You can tell us what you learned by contacting us through the website, growthmindsetpodcast.com, and feel free to connect with us or our guests, or just peruse the show notes. Our Instagram is @growthmindsetpodcast, or follow me @samjamsnaps for a daily reminder to stop using Instagram. If you enjoy random acts of kindness and want to support the show, you can support us on Patreon or leave us a review on iTunes, and you'll make me very happy. And with that, keep learning and keep growing.